think, I don't know if we're necessarily A-Live,
but live,
but
on, the
live on the air we are.
Well, that is good news. That is good news. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
And it's been a very long weekend.
Yes, it has.
Not well, for you, but well, you've been busy with your own things, man.
I was busy with my own things, but I have to say there's something even more spectacular than our measly little weekend.
And I can guess what that is.
Yes. We have to welcome into this world...
Yeah.
Drake Jonathan Burris, born on Tuesday. And congratulations to the happy parents, Sean and Katrina. Drake Jonathan, I'm just absolutely positive, is going to be a fantastic addition to the ghost hunting community.
You know what's really funny is on the way back from Indiana today, we're driving down the freeway and Will goes, "Hey man, look at that." And we just see a sign that says Burris Seed Company. And we about...
Ooh, I know where that is.
I about broke my damn neck trying to see that sign as I drove by it, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, we really should have stopped and got a picture of that.
Are you Sean Burris of the infamous Burris Seed Company?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, the seed company, Sean Burris.
Well, I do get the connection.
Disgusting connection,
and we don't have to talk about that.
Oh, come on. That'd be fun.
Oh, my.
I'm a man.
But, yes, congratulations. congratulations to the Burrises. That is, like, the absolute
really
best. And I know...
Really
I know Devin is going to just absolutely be, or is already tickled pink about his new little brother. So, so congratulations to the whole family out there, and way to go.
Way to go. Nice way job, Sean. You did it again.
Yep.
You're a father again. But congratulations.
Yes,
very cool
awesome.
To hear that. We got the news when we were out of town, and we were really happy to hear that. So, great. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things happened this weekend. We got a lot to cover here. We do have one of our special elite... Ninja-like.
Oh, they're ninja-like now.
Ninja-like. let's see, the thought process is running a little bit slow.
Field reporters.
Yes. Yeah. Will, can you help me out here, man?
I'll prompt you. Let me get the cue cards.
Get the cue cards.
Yeah
I'm going to need those. Now, we have Jeff on the phone.
Yes.
You were like, I've been in a car with you for 3 days, and I'm going to punch you very soon. No, don't. Bonnie's not going to protect you either. We have Jeff on the line. Now, this is one of the field reporter people you've been working with. This is your baby, Will. You've been really working hard on this, man.
He goes by Space Monk, S-P-C-M-O-N-K.
Okay.
He's from Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
He's been taking care of the Pacific Northwest for us.
Pacific Northwest?
Yeah.
It's a big area, isn't it?
Well, he's going to have some help. He's got someone else in Idaho, Marcus.
Mm-hmm. So. Now, I know there's going to be something that Doug wants to talk about also. Am I correct?
What do I want to talk about?
Admin stuff.
Oh, admin stuff. Yes. Before we talk with Space Monk,
yes.
Let me let you all know that Ghostly Talk is...
one of these days it'll actually flow.
Is
go
this
ahead.
A train wreck of an intro kind of thing?
People don't even know what we've been through this weekend.
Yeah,
they'll find
that's
out
true.
Soon enough. It's, cool.
No, it's true.
It's all right.
But anyways, Ghostly Talk is indeed broadcast live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time, at least for now, on the Pioneer Radio Network. That's at pioneer.rolo, R-O-L-O.net, at least until after the show.
Yeah.
Our own website is, of course, www.ghostlytalk.com, where we have absolutely amazing interactive stuff going on. We've got the forums, we've got the journals, and
the infamous news box.
And the shout box, which just goes insane.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up with that thing nowadays.
It sure is. You know, if you click on it, you can like get a list of
you can get a whole database
all the previous shows. Yeah, I'm going to have to go out and like delete most of that, because I don't know. Some of that stuff's nasty. but everybody has a lot of fun in there.
Yeah.
So it's a highly interactive site, and go check it out. Of course, we also have links to all of our past and future. Well, not yet, but we will. Add them to our links
and
of
future
past
guests.
Every single one has been permanently linked up on our homepage.
Yeah.
So.
We also have a whole page of archives. This is something new we're in. We have a whole page of archives featured on our site that you can download for free. They go back all the way to May 2002, and they're all up there available and ready for download at your disposal.
And, of course, you don't have to do... You don't even have to be a member to get
no,
to the archive site.
That page is open wide up.
Go there, download it, and distribute the files if you want, because it's all under the open content license.
Absolutely.
So enjoy, and pass them on.
Okay. Now, do we want to bring Jeff on?
Okay.
Play the Rocky music.
Do we have Rocky music? Oh, yeah.
Yep, I'm gonna fly again. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Come on, guys. Let's get on with it already. Jeez.
Yeah, you've been so patient, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's great to talk to you on Ghostly Talk.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Very honored when Will called me and said, hey, they'll be on next week. I said, great.
Awesome. And, of course, Pacific Northwest, home of Big Feet.
Yes. We're more in the, I guess we call it the valley. It's a desert. It runs right along the Columbia River. We're in Benton County in a little place called Richland, Washington.
Okay.
And our claim to fame is Hanford. Hanford, of course, we had the Nagasaki anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the ones who made the uranium or plutonium or whatever to
fill the bombs with.
Oh!
Yeah.
To fill the bombs with, yeah.
Good job. And great job.
Yeah.
All right.
I know. Most people ban the bomb. Heck, we make the bomb.
My goodness. That's an interesting claim to fame.
But yeah, it hasn't. They do not produce the plutonium anymore, but the Hanford is still there. It does employ a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, it is haunted, too. There's some paranormal stuff that happens out there.
Oh, really? Like, have you heard of anything in particular?
Yeah, I know a couple of the we call it security guards. They
three eyes, two heads, nine limbs.
Oh yeah, yeah. Things glow out there.
Yeah, they have special security guards.
Sorry, yeah, that reminds me of the Nextel thing.
Yeah,
tick 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 tick. The uranium in a Nextel causes all electronic stuff to tick.
What are the security guards?
What's about the security guards?
Okay, they let most of the time their job is to make sure everybody's out when they're supposed to be out, you know, so they're the last ones there, and they work all night. And so in some buildings, they'll let everybody out, and they'll still hear voices, you know, and they know nobody's in that building.
Mm-hmm.
And in a couple places, they have to, when there is people there, they sit in this little tube type of thing, you know, like you would, like when you go to a movie, you know, and you get to get your ticket, one of those types of booths, glass booths,
all the way
around,
mm-hmm.
And they check people through, and some of them say that when you're sitting there, you'll catch something out of the corner of your eye, and you'll look, and there ain't nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
And this one guy I talked to, he said that he was sitting there, and it kept on happening to him. He was the only one there, and he kept on seeing something, like someone was walking up behind him. He kept on looking, and there's nobody there. So another security guard came by to chat with him, you know, and so pretty soon he sees that security guard spin around like there's somebody there, and he goes, aha, you saw it too. You know, and they can't, you know, and so it is something that they see. So there is activity going on, and, you know, they're not sure what it is, you know. They're not really willing to investigate it either. It's all government.
No one's investigated that. Yeah, like you just said. I mean, I was
yeah,
curious
you can,
if there's any
so.
History of this site. Maybe somebody like maybe put you know connected the wrong wire like red wire where the white wire was supposed to go when they were like testing a bomb or something like that and you know boom and maybe their ghost is still there. I imagine you know it's an interesting idea if that was to happen because we've told stories about Civil War. We've talked about things that have happened in wars where people have been struck with cannon fire and things like that, and we kind of got into talks about you know what if you this thing we know of is called a sudden death, if that's one of the things that may shock your body to the point where the soul just kind of pops out and doesn't really know where it's at. It's an interesting idea to come into that. As far as has anybody seen anything else at the plant there? That's pretty much all they've seen.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for the plant. As far as what I heard, you know, and there's probably a lot of other stuff if I get to talk to everybody.
Hmm.
But when I heard that I was going to be one of the field reporters, you know,
mm-hmm.
for the Northwest here. I went out this week and I called everybody I knew
was
into the paranormal and stuff. And I'm saying, hey, you know any haunted places around here? Because it's pretty tight-lipped around here. We don't have any, you know, any great big well-known haunted places.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Gravity Hill. You know, everybody has a Gravity Hill, I think.
Yeah.
Where you stop the car and it rolls up. We have. We're known for ghost lights too. We're along the Indian reservation. Here we got the Walla Walla Indians, we got the Yakima Indians, we got the Umatilla Indians,
mm-hmm.
and I checked on the internet, and back up in the 70s were really big for seeing these ghost lights on Indian reservations around here.
Okay.
Well, I've only seen one Ghost Light once. Have you seen any of these yourself, Space Monk?
I have not.
Well, I saw one once. They've been very interesting. They've interested me ever since I read about the Paulding Light here in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Although they might as well just seed it over to Wisconsin because it's right there on the border. But yeah, the Paulding Light, and I've wanted to go there ever since, and I've never been there. But I did get to go to the one in Indiana.
Okay.
Sean and about 30 other cars took us to. and I got to see that Ghost Light, and that was really, really something. And so Ghost Lights are something that really interests me. Interesting. And you guys have some along Indian reservations, you say?
Yeah. We're called the we're right next to the Yakima Valley. In Yakima mm-hmm. Valley, you can like drive the Yakima Highway from Richland here all the way to Seattle if you wanted to.
Okay.
You know, so and along there, you little spots are reserved for the Indians. We have a couple of Indian casinos. You know?
Right.
So yeah, if you and I haven't did this and I haven't heard a lot of reports recently, but back in the 70s, I think it was like you took your date out to see the ghost lights. You know, that's how popular it was.
Yeah, right.
The submarine race.
The submarine race. Yep.
Let's go out and see the ghost light, baby. I can already hear somebody throwing that smooth stuff on him already.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, you know what? That's something that we would do.
So hey, I hear you're a ghost hunter.
Yeah, you want to go see a ghost light?
Yeah, okay.
And then whatever disgusting thing happens after that.
Wow.
More about ghost lights.
There you go. And we do have some UFOs. There's, you know, UFOs that people see UFOs. Nothing real spectacular. You know, same old, same old.
Mm-hmm.
But I have, as far as home hauntings go, I did get a couple good leads that we're gonna look into. One, just. Right here in my neck of the woods here in Richland, that this lady says that she has the basic, it sounds just like poltergeist type activity, you know, things going on, things going off,
mm-hmm.
rapping on the walls. She's real comfortable with it. She don't feel like her, and she has some kids and stuff like that, and they don't feel like they're in danger or anything.
Oh, that's good.
Interesting. You know? And what did, how would you go about investigating that then?
Yeah, we're very new mm-hmm. to this, so we were just planning on maybe trying some EVPs.
Good idea.
And taking the camera.
Good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit there at night, you know, just sit there and
well, Jeff,
see what happens.
Here's the most important thing, though, and we've talked about it before, but this is something you want to keep in mind also.
Uh-huh.
If you're going to go to this lady's house and you're going to take readings such as EVP or photos or any type of hard scientific material like that, I assume you're gonna show her what you got or didn't get on film or audio or whatever it is you're recording with, okay?
Yeah.
The one thing I would tell anybody, and this is what we do, and we tell people this all the time, if they're gonna go, we want to go investigate somebody's house, okay? First thing, number one thing you tell them is we're gonna show you everything that we record.
Uh-huh.
If we find anything, you're gonna see it. If we don't find anything, you're gonna see that too. If we do happen to come across something and we show it to you, can you handle that? Are you going to be comfortable with that? Okay, that's very that's very important.
I mean, already it sounds like they're comfortable with it.
Well, yeah.
But do they want to get a recording of it? That's a good question.
Even though that isn't, we can't call that 150% verifiable proof, like, hey, we got some weird voice here, because there's no way of really explaining it yet. That sometimes can be enough to verify something for somebody, and that can really freak people out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I mean, we've had personal experience with that, with people's homes, yep. where I told them or
it's
Doug
okay
or somebody,
as long as it's a curiosity, but as soon as, like, what? You're going to get a recording? You could get a recording,
yeah.
and it would be, like, some kind of proof, and, yike, now suddenly I'm scared.
Yeah, now, then so. That may be, that's just enough sometimes to verify that with somebody, and they may get very scared. And you don't want to be responsible for someone getting freaked out like that. You want to make them more comfortable with it, obviously. So,
of course,
yeah.
it's becoming more acceptable. I mean,
yeah,
I know that people are becoming more comfortable with this kind of thing, especially after seeing it on TV and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a real good thing. People are, there's so many people that are so curious now. It's so cool.
Right.
Everybody you talk to, it's really neat, and it's really kind of this thing that's kind of fruiting into this wonderful group of people who have these ideas and want to talk more about it now. And you know, Jeff, these people that you, who the home that you may investigate, they may be those people. Hopefully they are, where they can handle just about anything you throw at them. I mean, I know for a fact you guys aren't going in there just to scare anybody. You're going in there just to learn yourself.
And you
want to
learn.
You want to learn. And but you don't want anybody freaking out in the process. That's it, to me, that's the most important thing you want to deal with, because you don't want to be responsible for somebody freaking out like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, I understand. Yeah, I'm a fair-weather ghost hunter, man.
good.
Yeah. What? If she would have said, we see blood coming out of the walls, I wouldn't go. You know?
Yeah, I don't want to.
Oop, wrong kind of haunting.
No. Yeah.
What group of people do you hunt with?
Well, we're a pagan group called the Tri-City Seekers.
Excellent. Okay. Do you have a website?
So, yeah, it's the seekerssite.com.
Excellent.
Okay, spell it out, too, so we can make sure everybody knows where it is.
Okay, it's theseekerssite.com.
Cool. Theseekerssite.com.
Excellent.
Yes.
Cool.
Well, that's cool. I mean, that sounds like you guys have something, some things you can check out also. Everybody, there's houses everywhere. It's really numbing sometimes to find out how many people... Hey, man, I know this dude, that knows that dude, that knows this dude, that has this house, that has, you know, whatever going on. You hear it. We hear it all the time, obviously, from what we do. But I'm sure you go through the same thing, too, when you mention to people what you, you know, what your interests are, Jeff. People will bring these things up. And obviously, you said you spent a couple of days trying to get a couple of leads, and look what you have.
you have
some pretty interesting stuff to just to talk about. Let alone go and investigate, you know. So that's really it sounds very cool. And are you gonna be able to report that back to us if cool,
excellent.
That's gonna be exciting to talk about. I'm looking forward to that.
That was the topic. That's how I brought up the conversation. Was you listen to Ghostly Talk, and they say no. I thought it was this international internet radio show.
That's how it felt like this weekend.
Oh
my gosh.
Well, thank you for pimping us some more. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
You got to knight him.
What's that?
You have to knight him.
Not this
Jeff,
again.
Jeff, you weren't Well, why don't you knight him, Doug?
Oh, no. Didn't I do one of them last week?
I don't know. Did you?
Yeah.
He did.
All right. Well, then, Will, you have to knight him. Or no, Bonnie can knight him.
Yeah.
That'll be really interesting.
Don't
hey, Jeff, are you ready? Are you ready to be knighted, Jeff?
All right. Yes.
Okay.
I am.
Bonnie, go ahead.
I am not knighting him.
All right. Will, knight him.
You do it so much funnier, Scott.
I'm not funny.
Yeah,
I'm a dork.
You're funny looking. But...
Oh, boy. We got things to talk about after this show, Doug.
Oh, boy. Start it out.
Okay, here we go. Are you ready, Jeff?
Yep.
All right, raise your hand.
This is raised.
Okay. Your hand's raised. Good. All right. I state your name.
State your name.
Do hereby swear. To uphold,
hereby swear.
Okay. To uphold the truth.
To uphold the truth.
The whole truth.
The whole truth.
And nothing but the truth.
Nothing but the truth.
So help me, whatever deity is of your choice this week, or my week.
Whatever deity. Dear my God.
Amen.
Oh, man.
Okay. Hey, get up the sword. The sword. Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Ching.
Excellent. There you go. You are now officially part of the Ghostly Talk Field Reporter Ninja Elite Squad. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I feel just like Jimmy Olsen, man.
I know. I feel like we're in a frat or something.
I feel like I'm in a frat or something. Maybe like we don't have a paddle. That'd be really cool, wouldn't it?
So do you go out and also look for Bigfoot or no?
No. We don't get to see him much down here. You have to go like maybe 200 miles either direction.
I would do it.
It'd be very interesting.
I'd come to the Warren Winery.
Launches another one across the table.
Yeah.
I know that's one thing Doug wants to really check out. He wants to go out Bigfoot hunting one of these days.
Yes, I do. I looked for one on Bragg Road, didn't see one, so I had to keep looking.
I guess
a couple of hours a lifetime is not enough. I have to do more Bigfoot hunting.
Well, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, I think we're going to go to break, though.
Okay.
We need to chill out here. Jeff, thanks for coming on the show, and keep, you know, like, you can go back and forth with Will, of course, on the email, and let us know what your progress is with this house or whatever else you're working on, okay?
And with any stories up there in that area that come to your attention.
Yeah, let us know.
Anything you find out, let us know, because you've got an open slot.
All right. Hey, thank you very much.
Excellent. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Jeff.
We'll talk to you soon, all right?
See you on the board.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Well, that was really cool.
That was awesome.
Excellent. Now, we got three more guests tonight, don't we?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Who we got coming on next?
Deb.
Oh, okay. Oh, so the first hour of Guilty Talk this week is the West Coast.
I like the way you organized this, Will. Good work.
Thank you.
Can you please take us away? I need to go.
Kelgon.
Can you please take us away, Will?
Are the kids
play
screaming?
Play something sweet.
Is the dog barking? Are the telemarketers calling?
Play something sweet, Will.
Will, take me away.
Nice. Ooh.
Pretty. We'll be right back after this with Deb DeSalvo, our next field reporter.
This is Dr. Robert Schock of Great Sphinx fame. Take a look at my website, www.robertschoch.net, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Hello, everybody. My name is Badge. I'm a druid from Ireland, and I'm very busy with the Save Tara campaign. We're trying to divert the road that's going to be built, the toll road, away from Tara Hill. So if any of you can help out with this, please go to our website at www.taraScreen.org and please help us to save the heart of Ireland from having a scar gouge right across it. I believe there are 40 million Americans that claim Irish descent. This concerns each and every one of you. Please help to save Tara, and thank you for listening to Ghostly Talk.
Hello, folks. My name is Henry Rollins, and you are listening to Ghostly Talk. Touch your friends, touch yourself, but don't touch that dial.
What you need to learn is what you do is nothing more than a hobby.
It's a job, not a hobby.
Hey, man, listen to me. That's art, okay?
That's art, I mean.
That's art. Those guys are artists doing that stuff. Right
well,
there.
I know that, but this is like, hey, that was like,
that's
wow.
Referred to in some circles as heavy.
It was blaring in my headphones,
yeah,
what it was doing.
It's believe me, it's,
but
it
that,
works.
That
it
clip
works.
From Vulgar, though, that reminds me of Earthlink, actually.
Mm-hmm.
For the first, like, I don't know, 10 years of Earthlink's existence, they made not even one red cent.
Really?
Not even a penny. They kept losing money, losing money, losing money, losing money. And I swear, like 5, 6, 7 years into it, I thought, there's got to be a point where the government says, okay, you know, your little company thing that you're doing here, well, it's not made any money, so it's not really a business. It's a hobby. And they do that.
Mm-hmm.
If your business does not make money within, like, 5 years,
mm-hmm.
the government classifies it as a hobby, and then you can't take any deductions.
Okay.
It's like a tax kind of thing.
I didn't know they went that long.
Oh, they went forever.
Well.
They went forever. Earthlink went forever before they made any money. And I was like, when are they going to get the rule thrown at them, you know? But they never did, so I don't know.
We're just waiting for that.
Yeah.
We're still going to be like, yeah, right. Okay.
Well, we are a hobby, so
we
there we go.
We are genuinely
yeah.
a hobby. We
yeah.
can prove it to you.
Well, we can prove it to you.
Can you hear me?
We
yeah,
can hear you.
Yeah, what's
okay.
happening?
Okay, listen. Have you heard of the Rosicrucian Museum out here in San Jose?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, well, it's totally cool. I volunteer there, and I like, give tours, and... they just did. They just sent this child mummy to Stanford and got its CAT scanned instead of unwrapping it.
Okay. They had just done that with a girl.
Yep, that's her.
Oh,
that's
that was
it.
Her? Okay, yeah, they just did it. It made the news. I mean, it was all over the... Well, I read the news on my little PDA at work.
Uh-huh. Okay, Mr. Technology Boy, thank you for pushing that on us.
I didn't.
When I fire up the mainframe in my bedroom every morning, I just want to check the news and stuff.
But yeah, it made the news, and it was like so exciting to
yeah.
all of the scientists because they could find out all these different things
mm-hmm.
about the mummy
without destroying
and,
it.
Yeah, without actually cutting into it, and they were really excited about that.
Well, that's
yeah,
a,
it is. It's quite the breakthrough.
And
yeah,
that came from your museum.
Yeah, from the Rosicrucian Egyptian Museum. Yeah.
Wow, that's really cool to hear about. I know that that's obviously, you know, one of the big points of archaeology is to be able to find out these answers with things. People sometimes don't understand that one of the purpose of it is to find these answers out about the past and things and get these answers without necessarily destroying sites or destroying.
Oh, sure.
It is a form of archaeology. You're working on mummies. You're still trying to find out things that have happened in the past. Just speaking to Dr. Robert Schock, he taught us
right.
that. He taught us a lot about
but
that.
But this whole line of conversation, I think, is what it's doing is it's trying to divert us from introducing who's on the
yeah,
phone.
Yeah, yeah, and we're gonna
was that your goal, Deb?
Yeah.
No, are we on the air now?
Yeah,
we're on the air. You didn't know we were on the air?
Interesting.
Yeah, she's pretty slick, isn't she, Deb?
Yeah, she is. She is slick. She is really slick. We're gonna have to watch you,
yeah,
Deb.
Yeah, we're gonna have to watch
everybody, you. Please welcome to Ghostly Talk, Deb DeSalvo of California.
California.
She's our, you're in mid-California?
Yes, San Francisco Bay Area,
and,
San Jose. Yes.
And mm-hmm. so she's going to be our field reporter from that area,
mm-hmm.
yes. looking for all kinds of cool stuff. And I know Deb is into a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Evidently, even into volunteering at the Rosicrucian Egyptian Museum. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll just give you a little rundown of kind of where I'm at right now, how I came to be where I'm at.
Okay, excellent. Cool.
Okay. You know, I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky. And I came out here to go to art school, and I just stayed here.
Mm-hmm.
And I first I kind of was like you guys, you know, when you're a little kid, like Scott, you got that book at the garage sale.
Yeah.
Well, when I was a kid, I came across a Hans Holzer book.
Okay.
And that started it all for me. I mean, it was fascinating. I couldn't read enough of it. You know, at that time, there was nothing. There was barely even an occult section in a bookstore.
Hey, Deb? Deb?
Yeah?
We're getting a bit of interference on your line. Are you on a cordless phone?
Yeah.
Do you have...
Let me see what I can do.
Okay.
Okay.
You're mudding up a little bit. We don't want to lose you.
Okay. How about this? Is this okay?
It's the same thing.
Still the same, actually. Yeah.
I wonder what's going on.
You don't have a cord phone there? Is it all? You have just a cordless phones all around?
Well, let me go try and get on my cord phone.
Okay.
And see if that changes anything at all.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see if that will do it.
But I guess it's old phone from the 50s. Okay, how about that?
Oh, you sound divine now.
Okay, great.
That
is completely different.
Does it sound better?
Okay.
Completely
okay,
different.
Good.
Okay, that'll work.
So we were talking about, you found the Hans Holzer book.
Yeah, and then when I was in high school, I started reading Tarot. And then, you know, when I came out to California here, you just get exposed to so many things.
Uh-huh.
And all these lectures, and the next thing I knew, recently I studied under this Edgar Cayce psychic who had studied at the Edgar Cayce, I guess it's an institute out in Virginia.
Okay.
That would be the ARE.
That's right.
The Association for Research and Enlightenment.
Yes. And I learned their process for undergoing trance and accessing the Akashic records.
Mm-hmm.
And then I studied with Wiccan. Wicca,
mm-hmm.
rather.
Okay.
And that led me to like essential oils and herbology and things like that. And through essential oils, when you study that, you find out their origins, and they were the medicines of the ancient world. And then when you start to study that more, you end up in Egypt. So that's where I am with the Rosicrucian Museum. That's how I was drawn there.
Okay.
But I'm doing all that and keeping a job in a corporation, you know, like you guys.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy.
Hey, Deb.
Uh-huh.
I have to ask you to do this, but can you switch back to the other phone, possibly?
Sure.
This one's messing up on us, too, for some reason.
Okay, how's that? Is this okay?
Well, how come
that sounds
fine
good now.
Now?
Yeah, what's up with it? Go ahead and talk, Deb.
Okay, alrighty. Okay, so, you can hear me now and everything, right?
Yeah, you're coming through. There's just like this little, this buzzing thing on the line for some reason. I don't understand what that is. Do you want to try and get
a different line?
Yeah, you want to try it? Let's try to do that. Tell you what, Deb.
Let's ring you right back.
We're going to ring you back. Hang up, and
okay,
we're going to call you
right
back.
No problem, I'll hang up.
Cool,
hang up.
Okay. All right. Well, there's a special.
Ow.
Thank you for that. I think I have to delete that part. I think at risk of like being sellouts, I think we'll have to delete that part because that was really loud and I'm kind of deaf right now. I can't hear anything. So
you
hang
mean
on.
The screechy too? Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I'm gonna call her. There we go.
So anyway, while you're doing that,
mm-hmm.
that's really interesting. That hit the news. I mean, it was really big news, this mummy. They took CAT scan kinds of things of it, basically layer by layer by layer of, like, I don't know, thousands upon thousands of layers. They took pictures of each layer of this mummy, and they were able to tell things about it that they probably would even have missed had they just, you know, cut into it and looked for certain things. So that was amazing, amazing technology that they were doing. Nobody in the studio is listening to a thing that I'm saying.
I heard it. We're working here.
And I thought that was fascinating technology because, like Scott L. was saying, the whole thing is to be, you know, non-invasive. So they're able to tell things from this that are just amazing. We're going to bring her back in channel.
All right, here we go. Deb?
Okay, here I am.
Oh, now listen to that, guys.
Right, as soon as we say that, then she starts, oh, no, it hits good now.
All
right,
it's good now. Okay. I tried it two times, and this is the second time we got the charm, I guess. So, excellent. Sorry to interrupt you like that. We just want to make sure you had a clean channel so people can understand what you were saying.
So let us recap. You found the book by Hans Holzer. Then you studied under a psychic medium who had studied at the Association for Research and Enlightenment in Virginia, and there we are.
Yeah, and before that, I went from the Hans Holzer book to high school. I started reading. In high school, I started reading Tarot and stuff like that, And I went to art school. That's how I came out here. And now I'm in corporate America. And I was really bored one day, so I was surfing the web, and I found Ghostly Talk, and this gold mine of all these archives, of all these fascinating things. It was just incredible. It was like I come in every morning, every Monday morning, and I get my Ghostly Talk fix. It's just incredible.
Well, thanks.
Awesome. Well, now you're part of it, because we want to hear from you more and more, because we want to know the things in your area that are interesting, that are interesting to people out and about. So whenever you hear of any really interesting stuff, you've got a slot on Ghostly Talk.
Oh, that's great.
To talk about it.
You can call in and talk to us, we'll talk about it right here on the air.
Right, and to let everybody know. So everything from very famous hauntings and very famous things to, I heard, my friend has a haunted shoebox. You know, anything like that, anything at all out in your area, or anything that is just of interest to you. You're a field reporter now for Ghostly Talk.
All right. Well, I'm most honored. There's just so much out here. One place I think I mentioned in my email to Will was the Mission San Juan Bautista.
Mm-hmm.
It's if you've seen Vertigo, the movie Vertigo.
Oh yeah.
That's where she falls off the tower. Well, the tower isn't there anymore. I mean, Hitchcock painted it in or something. But essentially, that whole little village green is there, and it's reproduced. I mean, or it's perfectly preserved. From when it was there, from in the 1700s.
Right.
And it's always really, every time I go there, it's really desolate. There's rarely, it's a little bitty town off of Highway 101, close to Hollister.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just trippy. They've got a hotel, they've got stables, and I've never tried to take EVP before, but if I did, and I may do that coming up here pretty soon, that would be the place I would start.
Hmm. That sounds really cool.
Why haven't you taken EVP?
Well, I'm just listening about it. I'm listening about what you guys do, and I think if I do that, it makes me a little nervous, because at first I had to kind of get around the whole aspect of whether I was really interfering or whether I was helping, and that kind of a thing, because if in fact when you get EVP, sometimes they're very disturbing when I listen to them.
Mm-hmm. They can be.
Yeah, they obviously there's some entity, and they're either confused or they need help. Sometimes they're abusive, and who cares? But it can be disturbing,
Well, I understand. I didn't think of it that way, but I understand. I had always just thought it's stuff that you're picking up, a lot like the radio. If you have the radio on, you might pick a station up. But if you're out of range, you're out of range. I never thought of it as being a respect issue.
Well, that's a really good point, and I think on your show you've had several different people talk about this, and
mm-hmm.
and some things you get an entity that is there, you get a haunting.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you get what Russell White of Gooley was talking about, which is kind of like a pinhole through the curtain that separates this realm and the next,
Right.
And I thought his interview, by the way, was really, really good, very, very informative. That's what I think you were talking about, Doug, is like just listening to what's going on out there, And, so that is really interesting. And I think if I do, I'm going to get a voice-activated recorder like Catherine Ramblin has. Yeah, none of this business of sitting around and waiting to, reviewing this tape forever and ever, listening for something.
Yeah, Catherine Ramblin, because I read the book after we talked to her, of course, because, I'm a goofball. But
mm-hmm.
she describes how she's like, okay, I have to get a voice-activated one because I don't want hundreds of hours to go through.
Yeah.
And
that's
actually
a very efficient way of doing things.
That
it really is.
There is like a 3-second delay though before it kicks in. So I don't know how. Although she had her haunted object, right? Was it a haunted ring or something?
Mm-hmm. Well, she did that, and she also she would like go to bed and breakfasts, you know, haunted
right.
places like that, and she'd explore that. And mm-hmm. then who is the gentleman in Gettysburg? Who does the battlefield? He's the one that
Mark.
Right,
that's Mark Nesbitt.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he
mm-hmm.
does that too. He went into the you know some of the houses there and asked questions and then got a response.
Right.
And that's what interests me. I might consider doing something like that.
Give it a try because I think the most. You know, the most it could do is get nothing, right? I mean,
right.
if you go at it as, okay, well, I asked a question, and then there was absolutely nothing, and, you know, that's what I expected,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's great. But then if you get somebody, you know, a voice that you either recognize or don't,
mm-hmm.
saying, you know, passing along a message, then that's all the better.
Well, speaking of disturbing, you talk about the voice-activated recorders. Doug, you remember when we had Tim on that one time, Lone Feather?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we just had him come on. Tim's a friend of the show, and he's actually done a lot for this show, especially in regards to this past weekend that you guys are going to hear about sometime this week. He came on one night, and Deb, you might have heard this show. We were discussing EVPs with Tim, and he's like, hey, guys, I got something I want you to hear.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, cool. Well, you know, we played it like that. We already had it. We knew what was going to happen.
Right, right.
We're like, oh, really? You do? Wow, neat. Cool.
First shocked. Oh, my God.
Wow.
A treat.
So we played this particular piece of audio, and what it sounds like is a child. It sounds like a child choking, like
mm-hmm.
just kind of like struggling to get
ooh,
words
ooh.
Out, right? And, you know, you wouldn't really think too much about it. We're like, well, okay, well, that's really interesting, Tim, but... You know, what's up with these? Like, well, I recorded this on a voice-activated recorder, and the base, well, it was on the first level. He's got a colonial-style house, I think. He's got a two-level house.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I went upstairs to take a nap, and I just let this thing run for like 2 hours on its
uh-huh.
own. He's like, I don't live with anybody. I live with myself.
Right.
And he came down, and it recorded something, so he checked it out, and this is what he had on there. And it was... A good example of using a voice-activated recorder, obviously. It was also a very disturbing example, too. It's one of the creepiest pieces of audio, and I use that term with full sincerity because it was a very creepy piece of audio to hear. And it sounded like a child that was struggling to get some, you know, to talk, to say something.
Yeah, I think I remember that. And this is where it's like for somebody else to do that is totally fine, totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just for me... I tend to get involved in these things, and I think it would lead me, or I would feel that I would want to kind of do some kind of soul retrieval,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm a rescue or whatever they call that, and
mm-hmm.
I'm really not there yet to do that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
but it would make me kind of want to do that, you know. I mean, I think Michelle Whitedub does a whole lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
She goes in and does soul retrieval, but then, you know, she's been doing that for years, and that's a big part of her profession, I think. But yeah, there's tons of stuff out here. There's the Moss Beach Distillery, which is a great place to go for dinner. It's beautiful.
Okay.
It's on the coast, and it used to be an old Rum Runners joint in the
20s. Okay,
and,
all right.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw it. It was featured on Unsolved Mysteries, and they really do play up the whole aspect of having a ghost. But I talked to one of the waitresses that was there,
mm-hmm.
and I said, okay, have you seen anything? I mean, we all saw the show and blah, 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 but what are your experiences? And she said that one Sunday morning, because they do a Sunday brunch, they had come in to set up, and they set up out on the patio. They have a patio overlooking the ocean, and they came back in, and they were doing their stuff, and the manager came to them and said, what's the matter? You guys didn't set up. You know, what's going on? And they went out to the patio, and all the stuff was all messed up, the chairs and the table. Everything was askew. It was all messed up.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, weird little things like that. And, you know, of course, there's something in the bathroom that bothers women.
That's me. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, there's something in the men's bathroom at Holly Hotel
yeah.
that bothers men. So
I heard about that.
That's
yeah.
Will.
Yeah, that's Will.
And, also the show that you had with Kelly. Kelly's incredible. I've had a couple readings by her. And
really?
I just want to put... Yeah, I want to put that out there. That is one hardworking psychic, man. She is very on the spot, on the ball, and very, very good at what she does.
And she's put a lot into her into herself. I mean, she's went and she's gone overseas to the you know, study in England, and she's
yes,
constantly
yeah.
looking for. Yeah, she's constantly looking
yeah.
for all kinds of, you know, ways to better improve her abilities and, mm-hmm. and better tune into them. And one of the things that she's not able to do that she wanted to do so bad was I think she wanted to go, yet this summer, she wanted to go to see a, you know, a presentation by somebody that she admires.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to mention names. And but she's unable to do that because she wants to learn, you know, stage presence, and she wants to be, you know, be able to project what she's seeing and what she's feeling and hearing and whatever, however she gets her information, to more than just one or two people. She wants to be able to project it to a whole audience and be able to explain this to people so that they can pick up on it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing that, but she wants to be able to do it, you know, better, and she's always looking to improve her skills.
Mm-hmm.
And so I she just amazes me. She's one of the hardest working fairies I know. I mean, always
oh,
looking
certainly.
To be better.
Great friend of the show, and yeah, it's great. I try to keep in contact with her as much as possible, which basically means scarce because we're both so busy with all our stuff going on. But Kelly's a great friend of the show, and she's
mm-hmm.
always yeah amazing ability, and
we will
be having
I
her back pretty
to...
soon too.
Oh, good. That's
I hope
good because
so.
I've also enjoyed Mick and Sylvia Avery.
Yeah.
Mick and Sylvia Avery. Now, do you know the what's interesting? And since you're a field reporter, we can talk about this.
it's a big secret.
It's a big secret,
yeah.
All this stuff. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You don't want to tell anyone. we were absolutely, completely, 100% shocked and floored
yeah.
the first time that they were on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
we didn't expect anything like that at all.
We never expected that.
We didn't. Well, that.
Yeah, Mick and Sylvia Avery and Gregory.
Yeah, Gregory.
Never expected that in a million billion years. And it ended up making us think.
A lot,
because that show was groundbreaking to us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were absolutely shocked.
It
yeah.
was an incredible show, and when you listen to what Gregory had to say, and Doug, you asked such good questions about, like, you asked about, you know, the structure of the universe. I mean, in so many questions, you were, you know, feeling, you know, asking
mm-hmm.
that. And then when you hear what Russell White has to say, and he made references to that... The physics professor at Stanford, and then what she, I guess Linda Randall, what she had to say about, you know, mathematically the structure of the universe and realms and wormholes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Gregory used several terms. He said something like when you see a residual haunting or,
mm-hmm.
or maybe you hear EVP, he was saying it's something like maybe a wrinkle in the fabric of our realm where we...
Right.
we get a quick glimpse of what's going on the other realm. It was just fascinating.
Well, here's another thing to really, really, really make your head spin. We were talking. This is what makes me go absolutely insane. We were talking with Mick during a break,
oh.
or maybe before
uh-huh.
the show. I don't remember. We were talking with him, and I said, "Well, here's the thing. All the things you're saying, blah blah blah." I know all this stuff. I've read all these books. I've studied Edgar Cayce. I've studied all these different things. And, you know, ever since my first, you know, witchcraft book in grade school all the way up to now, I've read a lot of stuff and I've seen a lot of things. And then we had talked to a lot of people as well. So I had a background, right? And I said, so some of the things you're saying, you know, they really fall into place. And here and here and here. And he goes, I don't know any of those people. I don't read anything because I have to stay objective. So all the stuff that you're talking
yeah.
about, I'm unfamiliar with. I can't talk with you about it because I've never read anything by Edgar or about Edgar Cayce. I've never read anything about you know, all these different theories and things like that. So he doesn't know any of the stuff where what Gregory is saying would fall into place.
Well, that's excellent because he can't be influenced then.
Exactly.
Yeah, completely objective viewpoint.
He is not influenced because I tried to get him to say something about any topic that I knew about, and he has absolutely, he really, truly does not have an idea because it's, because he purposely does not study like I do. this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I imagine people might tell him things if he's at a conference or something, and they go, oh, that's just like Edgar Casey, or oh, that's just like, you know, Michelle Whitedove was saying on a show. You know, he might hear those kinds of things, but he does not study this stuff. Mm-hmm. He has no clue, because he has to remain objective, and he does.
And that is just fascinating. And one thing I wanted to bring up before my time is over is one of these, you know, just I read a lot of, or rather I watch PBS, and I'm interested in history a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
see this stuff in history. It's all over history. I mean, like, I was watching the PBS special on the Lewis and Clark expedition.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And William Clark wrote down just very calmly in his journal about how they wintered with the Mandan tribe, and how they were hanging out with the tribe, and the tribe said, you know, notice they were running low on food, and not much meat, you know, and so they did the buffalo dance, and he just described the, you know, what they said and you know what the dance was like, and then he also described later in his journal, 2 to 3 days later, he said, we rode out to find the plains covered with buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fascinating. And then, like, Patton, did you ever study anything about General Patton? Patton?
Not me.
Not me either.
Because that's war-related and stuff, and I'm just not into it, so...
Well, he believed in reincarnation. He is fascinating, absolutely fascinating. I'm going to send you this poem that he wrote. It goes on stanza and stanza, but his whole trip was he knew he was this ancient warrior, and he knew why he was here and what he had to do. And he wrote he was very well read in history too. And he the last stanza of his poem goes like this. It goes, so through a glass and darkly, the angel age-long strife I see, where I fought in many guises, many names, but always me. It's just fascinating. He talks about all of these, his participation in all of these battles and things like that. And it's just, you know, when you read stuff like that in history, it's, I mean, all of this stuff is not new. It's just that, you know, now it seems to all be coming up a little more from the surface, onto the surface. And your show is great. It's just this major showcase for that.
Well, Dad, we need to thank you. We need to thank you from the bottom of our hearts also, because you have sent us so much stuff.
Well, I knew you would appreciate it. I knew you'd appreciate those books, like that. That it has a corny title. What is it?
Somebody stole them. They're gone. Oh, Doug got
I have them, and then I pass them on to see if I don't get a hold of them, and then pass them on to Bonnie and people.
Mm-hmm.
They'll end up in Will's possession,
they'll be on they'll get put on the bookshelf where they're nice and organized.
And
you can refer to them anytime you want.
See them again. Yeah.
but wasn't that good? That one Night Stalks the Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
About that family in Philadelphia, or rather Pennsylvania.
Oh, you mean the lady who she ended up buying this house and then opening a business in the house, or her husband's business was going to be on the second floor.
No, that's Gravesend.
Oh, that's Gravesend. Oh, I loved that one.
That was with Hans Holzer. That was fascinating.
Yeah, I loved that one.
Yeah, this Night Stalks the Mansion. That's old. I think that was written in the late 60s, early 70s. The book is real old, but it was about the family who went to Pennsylvania, and mm-hmm. they were like post World War II, and you know, they, with the baby boom, and they had to rent that mansion, that big mansion.
I don't know if I read that one.
I did.
Oh, God.
You did?
Oh, so you
do you have it?
No, I gave it back to you.
Did I read it and then give it to you?
I don't know.
Oh, dude, you've got to read it. It's so great.
Well, I thought I read them all.
I don't think I'm going to find the book, though, now. It's like, don't even know who has it.
Well, if she gave it back to me, it's in my house.
Okay.
So I'll go into the house. Well, you
gave us a bunch of books. Okay, check this out. Listen,
I had to read it.
Listening audience, you guys have to listen to this. We got a box a couple weeks ago.
A box.
I go to the P.O. box, and it's like, you have a package. Go to this locker. And for like about a half second, I felt like Magnum P.I. I was like, ding, 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 ding. I ran over my key, put my sunglasses on inside the post office, and ran over there and was like, grabbed the package, and I ran out as fast as I could and got in the car. And I mean, it was like bulletproof wrapping, so I'm like, well, I ain't getting into it in here, so I just wait till I get home. So I got back here, and I opened it up, and there, well, it was like kind of like a spring, like, boom, stuff comes flying out. And I'm like, wow. And there's like a pile of books on one side, a pile of DVDs on the other side. This is like an interview with a vampire. The others. I have a couple on the shelf.
I've watched those things hundreds of times. I could not watch them again.
Well, you guys can watch the others. The only good part about the others is the last 5 minutes. So I know.
It's sad. That I liked it. It was well done, but it depressed me. Now, what do you think of that little ghost doll I sent you?
I was just going to comment on that. The little ghost. See, I put those up on the fridge already. We have right here, guys. They're right over here.
All
right,
I'll go look at it.
They're really awesome. They're like they're figurine type things. They have magnets on them, and one of them says ghostly. Let me make sure. I got it right here. I can grab it. Ghostly Talk rules says right on.
No way!
We got to take pictures.
This is super cool. This is super cool. And she also got this one too. She made this one for us.
You make these things?
Yeah, this is the other one she made.
Do you make the soaps as well?
I'm the Craft Central here.
Do you do it commercially or just for hobbies?
Just for hobbies. I could do it commercial, but I don't think I'd make much profit. I'm all about profit.
Well, I'll tell you, that soap, when we got that, that was like two Christmases ago, I think we got it. Wasn't it? Or
like, something like that.
It was this last Christmas, I believe.
It was?
Yeah,
no, was it this last Christmas, I think? Yeah, it was, because I remember. That soap had basically, up until like about 2 weeks ago, I took two bars out of the box and brought it home here, and they sat, you know, as decor in my bathroom.
Because they were so beautiful.
They were so pretty, and they smelled so good.
And yeah, I smelled good, and yeah.
I almost felt bad trying to... Yeah, I didn't want to use it. I was afraid to use it, because it might explode. I don't know what I was going to do. So one day I decided to get brave, and actually, about 2 weeks ago, I actually said, okay, look, these things smell so good, I can't resist anymore. So I popped one out, and I've been using it since then. And oh, my God. This soap is... I mean, and all the guys are going to be like, losing a part of the bed sheet tonight, probably because I say this, but this soap makes your skin so soft. It's so nice. Right?
Really?
Oh, jeez. I'm telling you, this soap is awesome.
Bonnie, can you attest to that?
Feel my face. Feel my face.
Bonnie's feeling his face.
It's like a baby's butt.
It's the best stuff. This soap is awesome. I'm being totally honest. I love this stuff. It's great.
It's for after a ghost hunt, because it has sea salt in it. It will raise your vibration and help you get rid of attachment. That's what I made it for. And because you made such a big fuss, you're getting a whole bunch more.
No.
All right.
Well, he'll love it, and I will too. So and
well,
after
thank you so
after
much.
A ghost hunt, we do need soap. Yes.
I can attest to that.
Crawling around in the cemeteries,
pretty nasty.
Yeah.
But no, I have to thank you, because it's from a personal standpoint now. I don't know if the other guys have used it, and if they did, I don't know if they used it in such a dramatic manner. But but I really enjoyed it.
Hmm? Okay, and I just wanted to tell you guys again, if you want to come out and do a ghost hunt here, you got to stay here. Stay with me, and I'll take you around and show you all the sights. Okay.
That is so kind. That is so kind of you to do.
And
that.
We'll take you to KQRP and introduce you around to all the people that we only know by voice.
Well, we know other people too.
Yeah,
we know other people in California now too, over this weekend.
So yes, that is true.
We'll tell you more about that later, though, Deb. You'll find out about that later on. But Deb, thanks for coming on the show. We're running a little late here, so we got to fly.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Thank you,
okay,
Deb.
You guys
thank
take
you.
Care.
Thanks for everything, Deb. Seriously.
And welcome to Ghostly Talk Field Reporting.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Damn, we didn't knight her. Damn it.
Oh, we didn't do
damn.
That.
Okay,
oh,
well,
that's okay.
We'll knight her later.
We'll get her when she does the first, like, story.
Yeah, we'll knight her then. That's
yes,
right.
Yes.
We'll take us out. We got to run here. We're running just a little bit late.
Yes.
We got more guests coming up. Who's up next? I think we got Kyle coming up, don't we?
Kyle's coming up.
Kyle, our friend from Mother North.
From the Northern Plains.
The cold, icy continent named Canada.
South of here, but, you know.
He is south of us.
Yeah, south of us.
Well, when you think of Canada, you think north of America.
Right.
We don't need to get technical about this stuff. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.